1 Kings chapter 18, and I want to begin reading in verse number 30. 1 Kings 18 and verse number 30. The Bible says this, "And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down." Think about that. "And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it a second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. They did it the third time. And the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham and Isaac and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood." Don't you love the specifics of the Bible? It's specific. It burnt, it consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. And they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal and let not one of them escape. And they took them. And Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. You can be seated this morning. I want to give you just a little bit of background of where we're at. Elijah come on the scene about a chapter earlier. And never been heard of, never known anywhere, never read anything else. He just comes totally on the Bible scene in chapter 17 in verse number 1. And Elijah comes before a wicked nation, Israel, and a wicked king, Ahab. And Elijah, I believe with all of my heart, has a burden for his country. And Elijah makes a statement, I believe with all my heart, before he made the statement in chapter 17. There, I believe he was a praying man. I believe that he prayed and he wanted to see Israel turn back to God. And Israel, no doubt, was in a bad state at that time. I don't know if you would agree with me this morning, but the United States is in a pretty bad shape this morning. We hadn't got our best face on as we look at ourselves this morning as a country. And Elijah prayed a strange prayer. Elijah said something that was, I thought was very strange, but Elijah, I believe, wanted whatever it took. You hear what I said? He wanted whatever it took to get Israel back to God. And then he went to Ahab, the king there, and he told him, he said, according to my word, it shall not rain for these years. And listen to me, where we're at right now, 3.5 years later in our text, 3.5 years later, no rain from the sky, not even dew on the ground, the Bible says. We can go for 2 months, 60 days around here, and we'll have prayer services all over everywhere that it might rain because everybody's crops are drying up and the cattle's are dying. We got a problem out in Nevada there with the Hoover Dam and Lake Mead. It's drying up and people is praying. And you know what? But Elijah, he said, listen, it's not going to rain for a space of 3.5 years just so we can get your attention. I notice now in our text there, Elijah comes back on the scene. And he says, bring all the children of Israel together. Bring every one of them. He said, we're going to Mount Carmel, and I'm going to show y'all something. So he gets all the children of Israel together. Stay with me now. And he brings them all up on top of this mountain. And they're in a pretty bad predicament. I'm telling you that we've passed by the brook there that Elijah went by and the crows come, the ravens came, they brought him bread and flesh in the morning and the brook stayed until it dried up, and then he went to Zarephath, the widow woman. Now we've just passed, all this is taking place in this 3.5 years. There's some people that's died because there's no water in the land. Here's Elijah. He said, bring them all up here, and I'm going to show you something. What's he going to show them? He's going to show them God. If there's anything that I believe that we need in America today, in the United States, is we need God. Listen to me. I didn't say we need another church service. We don't need another click or clack, but what we need is an almighty God to show up just as it did when this country was founded and things was real. We need God to move. And I'm interested in that one phrase there. In verse number 38, it says, then the fire of the Lord fell. And I want to preach on this simple thought this morning, on the fire still works. I can remember as a little boy, Brother Ken, I can remember down at the church we used to attend when I was a kid. I can remember the old ladies on the right side. I can vividly remember where they sat at. I can remember them getting up and worshiping and praising God. I can remember the men that sat on the left side. I can remember how the preacher would get up with tears running down his face, preaching under the anointing and the power of God. And he would proclaim the gospel and tell people about the cross and how important it was and how that Jesus loved sinners and how that he would save those that was lost. And boy, I can vividly remember that. And if we are ever to have any hope in America, it's we got to get back to the old fire of God so these children will have a chance. Well, we don't need another church program. Listen to me now. We don't need another trip here or a trip there, but what we need is God to show up. We need Him to show up. These children, I thought about them as they come up here this morning, and we watch them every week as they come through here. They need to experience the power of God. They need to experience it, honey. Now, listen, they don't need to experience just some other church service and some other click or clack, but they need to experience God Himself. Listen to me, there's more to church than what meets the eye. Well, listen to me, we need the fire of God for four reasons. Number one, we need the fire of God, watch in verse number 38, to consume some things. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed. It consumed, first of all, it consumed those sacrifices.
the things that you bring to the altar. We need the fire of God in Liberty Baptist Church. We need it. So when we come to this altar and we lay things on the altar, we need the fire of God to consume those things that we're trying to give up. Not only the sacrifice, but the deadness in our lives. I looked outside. I walked out to the dog pen. I got a big old oak tree out there. And there's a low-lying limb, and it's dead, and it's just hanging up there. And it won't be long till I have to get that thing down and yank it down. And you know what? We'll throw it down in the fire. There's some dead things in our lives that we need God to consume. There's some things that's died that used to be alive and used to be flourishing. But we need God to come in and consume some of that deadness in our lives. But not only the wood, but I noticed he even specifically said the stones. There's some areas of our life that's hard, that's calloused over. Honey, listen to me. You may have been hurt. It may have been in church. Or it may just be life itself. Life is tough. And it's hard sometimes. And sometimes church can be hard. And sometimes church folks can be mean. And you may have a callous. You may have a wound where you've been hurt in church. And you've gotten hard because of that wound. Oh, listen to me. We need that fire to take care of those wounds. And take care of those hurts and that hardness that we've got. We need the fire of God to consume the wood and the stones. But what about that dust? The deadness, the hardness, but also the dryness. Oh, listen to me. We've all got some dry in our life. We've all got some areas that we ought to be doing this, but we ain't. And we've gotten dry. We've gotten bitter. We've gotten dusty. We've gotten to a place to where we ain't got a lick of moisture about us. I don't understand this verse here, how that there's dust. And he filled all the trench and the whole entire sacrifice. But listen to me, we can still get dusty even when the God of glory is around. We can still get complacent in our pews. And we need the fire of God to lap up the dust. Not only the dust and the dryness, but that water there. Trying to quench the fires in your life. What is the water in your life that's trying to quench? What's the quenching thing that's trying to quench worship in your life? What's quenching you from coming to God's house? Well, there's some things we need God to consume through His fire. Are you with me now? Notice verse 39, number 2. We need the fire of God to convict us of some things. To convict us. Did you know that conviction is very important? I used Brother Randy Wednesday night how he taught on this thing that's inside of my mouth behind this cage and sealed, supposed to be, with two lips. But a lot of times, Brother Randy, just like you said, this cage breaks. And these lips here come unsealed. And the wrong thing comes out. Am I the only one in the house? And listen, can I just confess something? Brother Andy, I was under conviction. I'll just be honest with you. Wednesday, I get up early. And I decide I'm going to Walmart. I keep a box of mixed deluxe nuts on my desk. I'm trying not to get them little Debbies no more. But I get them, and I go to Walmart. And I get there early thinking, I'm getting in here. I ain't got to fight this crazy crowd. And I'm getting out. Well, guess what? I go back there and get my nuts. I come up there to the front. There's 48 people in line. And they got, listen, I'm telling you the truth. They've got four self-checkouts opening the whole place. There's enough registers down there to open up 40 convenience stores. But they got four self-checkouts. little woman, bless her heart, she's running, bouncing back and forth, trying to help somebody. And here's this nice fella standing over there on the backside, and he's over there like this right here. He don't know if he's in the world or out of the world. I stand in line. Finally get up there, and Brother Randy got the best of me. I just confess. Y'all forgive me. I just thought he needed to know. And I thought maybe God sent me in there to tell him. That's, mind you, Brother Randy, that's Wednesday morning. I come in church. I'm all right. That Holy Spirit in me that morning said, you shouldn't have said that. And I said, oh, he's a nut. He needed to be told. Well, I get over here, sit down, and this man over here gets up preaching on the tongue. And you know what? I wore it till I got it right. You see, I need the fire of God. Watch your Bible. Verse 39, the Bible says this. And when all the people saw it, what'd they do? They fell on their face. They fell on their face. Conviction. Conviction reveals some things, doesn't it? You get in the church house, and the preacher begins to preach, the Word of God is opened, and he begins to expound on it, and it's just like a mirror. Most of you ladies, you have a big mirror at home, and you're all beautiful, but you get in that mirror, and you know what you're doing? You're looking for flaws. You're looking for something that's wrong, and if ain't nothing wrong, you say, boy, that looks good. But what you're doing, you're looking to see if there's one hair out of place. I ain't got that problem. What you're doing, you're looking to see if it's ironed properly. You're looking to see if it's clean. You're looking for flaws. And what we need is the fire and the power of God to convict our hearts, because we have not arrived. We're all flawed. I don't care from the sweetest in the house how good you think you are. You're probably the one that needs the preaching this morning. Honey, we all are flawed, and we need God to convict us of our faults and show us where we're wrong. Conviction reveals, conviction brings remorse. It's a shameful day. Listen now, Brother Randall, it's a shameful day when we can live, when a person can live in sin, blatant sin, and come and sit Sunday after Sunday after Sunday in the house of God. Honey, there's no conviction there. Listen, in the old days, they didn't even keep the doors locked. Not that long ago. I ain't that old. Don't look at me like that. I can remember it. Wasn't no such thing as a lock on the church door. They didn't do the crazy stuff in the church parking lot. Listen, it was reverence. Why? Because of conviction. You could drive up on the grounds. And listen, honey, there was power and conviction on the whole place. Well, conviction brings remorse. People are seeing that. They ain't got to look ashamed now. But conviction also seeks repentance. Conviction seeks repentance. I've got to do something about this. You get real conviction on your life, and you're going to have to do something about it. Thirdly, hurrying along, we need the fire of God to convince us of some things. Watch your Bible, verse 39 at the end of it. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. They said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. We need the fire of God to convince us. We live in a fake day. You can't believe what you hear nowadays, I don't care if it did come from the news. I don't care if it did come from creditable people. You can't always believe what you hear. And you sure can't always believe what you see even. We've got artificial intelligence today. I can take a snapshot of this whole room and paint every bit of it baby blue. I can do whatever with that in a matter of seconds. We live in a time of deception. You know what the church needs to be? Don't miss this. The church needs to be authentic. In a crazy world, a world full of lies and a world full of fake and made up and manufactured, we need the church to be real and authentic. Our little kids that may not be able to comprehend everything that's going on, they need to realize in their hearts that church down there, it is the only place that I can go and get something that's genuine. The church must be authentic, but it also must be affectionate. It also must be affectionate. We need to be loving. We need to be kind. We need to care. The church must, most important, be anointed. Anointed. Listen, anointing is not a church of God. It's not a word that other. Anointing is the power of God. Anointing is the Holy Ghost of God doing the work in someone's life. Anointing. We need to be anointed at Liberty Baptist Church. People are seeking something that's real. I've got better things to do than go to a church that's just got some pageantry. I'm telling you the truth. You have too. I don't need to hear some man's sermonette. I'm telling you. I don't need to hear. I didn't listen to that young group sing this morning just to see how eloquent they sung and how beautiful the piano. I listened because I was looking for one purpose, and that's who they singing about, and I want to worship who they're singing about with them. We need anointing. Lastly, verse 41, and Elijah said to Ahab, "Get thee up, eat and drink. For there is a sound of abundance of rain." We need the fire of God to change some things. It may have been dry. Things may have been dying. But nothing's going to change it but God and His fire. We've seen some dry times, Elijah says. But he sent his servant. There's a little cloud in the distance. We've experienced some dead times. That little widow woman, she was going. Remember her two sticks? She was going to build a fire, bake a cake. Her and her son's going to die. That's what she said. She experienced some dead times. But I can hear a little thunder in the background. Hang on. There's a deluge coming. There is a downpour. Frog strangler coming. Liberty, I'm going to say this morning. One thing that I've noticed, Brother Ken, about this fire here, Brother Tim, for 3.5 years, nothing changed. Everything was the same. Brother Adam, until a man prayed. You hear what I said? Nothing changed. You parents, please listen. We've progressively gotten further and further and further away from God. Some's asked,
Is this the great falling away? I don't know. I ain't God. But we've gotten further and further and further and further away. And listen, parents, the only hope for your children is what I'm preaching about this morning. Hear me well. Church ain't going to help you. You find what'll help you in church. But if you're banking on the church, honey, it takes the fire of God. Our kids need to experience God. You know what will bring that? What'll help secure that? Miss Amy, if you come, I want you to sing a play or something. What'll help you secure that for your children? Listen to me. You look at them babies, and there's no earthly way that you would leave them without a plate of food whenever they wanted it. You would not deny them a roof over their head. Absolutely not. If it took every last cent you have, you'd put some kind of roof over their head. And I'm going to tell you, that's all not as important as begging God for the fire. And I want to challenge you this morning for your children's sake. You better pray for this man over here. We was talking about it in Sunday school. There's no way to explain the demonic activity that goes on in a pastor's mind. The battle that'll rage in his mind when he leaves. You pray for him because there ain't many places like this. You better beg, I'm telling you, you better beg God on this man's behalf. And you better beg God that he would bind Satan that tries to destroy this place. But you better believe he is. And while Miss Amy sings, I want all of us to stand. Maybe this morning that you'd like to get your family, your children, your babies. While she sings, come and pray specifically for the church. Pray specifically that God would help your pastor. Pray specifically that God would help, that we'd stay in the old way. Because you can come in one Sunday and it'd be different. We need God. We need the fire of God more than anything in the day and hour that we live. Would you come while she sings? Mind him.
I've seen things along the way.
We need him.
And I've seen some trouble in my short days. But through it all, I have have a friend who is always so near. And if the sun were to fall, and if the oceans were to dry,
we need him.
And if the mountains were to crumble, I wouldn't bat an eye, for I stand upon the rock, yes, the rock of all the ages. No matter what may come, the storm around me rages.